Hey, how would you like to save some cash? Well, on the line I have with me now Helen Baker, a licensed financial advisor and author of two books all about how to survive and thrive in this capitalistic world. She joins me on the line now. Thanks for joining me, Helen.
Thank you for having me.
We've got rising living costs. Wages are pretty much stagnant at the moment, and it seems like everything's getting harder and harder in this capitalistic world. But you have made a life of work in helping people get their financial independence back on track. How did you get interested in this area?
Yeah, so my background was actually working more like a fixer. So I used to go into businesses and fix situations, and I had a finance background. So once I went into financial advising, it was the combination of the two, putting those together. Let's fix up people's situations, deal with life events, and help people to stand on their own two feet.
Mm. And often when it comes to saving money, would you say that a lot of it is just being conscious of your spending habits?
I think so. I think there's a lot of leakage that can happen, particularly because we're very time poor. So sitting down and checking your credit card statements and making sure that you haven't got anything fraudulent on there is a good place to start. I personally got caught for about 4 months in a row where there was just little bits, and it sort of adds up as time goes on. And then there's the everyday leakage where, you know, there's some habits that we can change, or an awareness about where the leakage is happening, and make some changes so that you can maybe go on that holiday or pay off that home sooner.
Yeah, and you're saying that there are 17 changes that can help you save about $16,000 or more a year. Can you take us through what some of those major ones are?
Sure. So the first ones to start with are those big ticket items like the mortgage, because that's where you can immediately get some big savings. So we think, oh, 0.25%, that might not be very much. But if we think about getting a loan that reduces the interest by about 0.25%, you could save about $26,000 over the course of the loan and pay it off a lot earlier. So the home loan is probably a really good place to start, as well as anything else associated with debt. So some people are not paying credit cards off fast enough, so then they're paying 20-something percent interest on those. Personal loans can be anywhere from about 7 to 12%, whereas a home loan's only a few percent. So looking at maybe debt consolidation, looking at paying off those expensive things quickly and making sure you've got a plan to clear out those credit card debts when they're due so you don't lose money on interest is a place to start. And then there's the everyday items as well.
Mm. And also just reviewing the things that you pay for every month, insurance, bills, subscriptions, memberships, that can make a big difference too.
Absolutely. So one of the ones I find a lot is on the mobile phone plan. So when you think about everyone in the household really has them now, so you've probably got maybe 4 per household at least. And maybe the plan you took out originally was appropriate, but things have changed and you can maybe get some better deals. So for me personally, mine was on about $130 a month, and I've just managed to get mine to $55 a month. So if you imagine that a saving of, say, $80 per person in the house over a year, that works out to be quite a bit of few thousand dollars there.
Mm. Now, one of my favourite things to do when I'm really hungry is go shopping, but that's more for my belly than my bank account. That's a bit of a no-no in your world, isn't it?
I think I'm very vulnerable to that one myself as well. So that's how you sort of work out that you're buying things that are actually not filling you up and you're not getting satisfaction. So then you go and eat more and you usually pick up the wrong items as well, which are usually a little bit more expensive, you know, the biscuits and those sort of treats. So the statistics show that about 20% of the groceries that we buy are actually wasted. So either the food goes off or it just runs by its use-by dates and sits in the back of the pantry, those kind of items. So 20% on a grocery bill is quite a significant amount.
That's very true. And actually, one way I have saved a lot of money, because I used to work in the city where there was amazing cafes everywhere. Yeah. And I was just tempted almost every day to go out and buy lunch. But now I'm actually making myself toasties and salads and bringing them into the office. Can that save a lot of money?
I think so. So I know with some of the staff here, they can, we're in the city as well, so they can go shopping sort of every lunchtime and get some lunch. So whilst we want to do that as a part of a social thing, and sometimes it's not practical to have leftovers, they might be all gone every day. But when you maybe take out twice a week, you can save about $1,560 a year just by pulling it back a couple of days a week.
Mm. Now, not everyone is in a financial position to buy in bulk, but that can save quite a lot, can't it?
I think so. So I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't like it. But I am consequently a Diet Coke addict for a caffeine, so don't judge. But what I find, again, being in the city, if I go down to a takeaway shop and buy, there may be about $3 each time. So if I buy in bulk, which I do, get a carton from the grocery store, and then we top it up in the fridge here at work, and then it's only about 70 cents a can. So over the year, my spend could be about $3,258. Doing it this way, it's about $766. So it's a good $2,500. And for different people, it might be their smoothies that they buy out. It could be the coffees they buy. Could be a range of, there could be soft drink people as well. So whatever it is, that's your little ticket. Don't not have it, but just do it in a different way.
And one clever little way to save a bit of cash as well is rounding up to chip away at your debts.
Yes. So this is a really good technology that's come out. One of my friends has done it. And so you pick an amount that you want to round up to. So for her, it's the $5. So if she buys, say, the coffee or the groceries and they come out ending in $3.50, it rounded up to $5. So if it's $100, $105, just keep rounding up to the $5. And she found that she saved $450, and you allocate it to where you want it to go. So for her, she put it on her mortgage. But she said all that little amount throughout the month of petrol and groceries and public transport, all those little ticket ones that moved along, and it made a difference. And now they've done it in a way where you can actually allocate it to anything. So you could say, every time I make my bed, put a dollar in this account. So you might feel like you actually get paid for chores if you use those kind of items.
Oh, that's great. And one other thing, which people might not be totally savvy to, is salary sacrificing into superannuation.
Yes, so a little bit hard to explain sometimes without, I'm a bit of a drawer, I like to explain it to clients. But if we're looking for instant savings, no one really likes paying any more tax than they have to. So if you salary sacrifice to super, immediately you can get that tax saving. So most people will be in the 30-something percent bracket, whereas tax in superannuation is only 15%. So immediately they're getting a half of their contribution back. Plus, the double benefit is over the long term, that investment, which is the same that you can do inside or outside of super usually, if it's grown inside of super, it's still only taxed at 15%. Outside of super, the 30 to 40% bracket. So therefore, that overall investment over the long run will come out far in front in superannuation than it will outside of super.
And Helen, in regards to bank accounts, is there a clever way that you can set them up with multiple accounts or multiple different banks in order to stop yourself from spending too much from one of them?
Exactly. So one of the things I say to clients again about the spending plan is if you actually add up all your bills for the year, which is a little bit frightening usually when you actually see how much you have to earn just to keep the bills going, and most of them, the electricity, the rates, the insurance, they're going to keep on coming. So what you want to do is work out what it is for the year. If you get paid weekly, divide it by 52. If you get paid monthly, divide it by 12. And put that money into a separate account and call it a bills account. So a lot of banks now are allowing you to name your account. So you can transfer the money every pay, either from your pay person or directly yourself. And then when the bills come in, the money's already sitting there. And that'll help you to save money by not being late paying your bills, making sure the money's there, and smooth out that roller coaster so that you know what you really have in your saving account is actually a saving, not really sitting there waiting to pay a bill.
Oh, that's wonderful. And Helen Baker, how can we find out more about you and get a hold of your two books?
Great. So we are on yourowntwofeet.com.au and everything is there. So hopefully find something good that encourages you to make a difference.
Oh, well, I appreciate your time today, Helen. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.